Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. My name is Kong Shang, and I am the host of this podcast. The goal of this show is really to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you to act, and get you in the right mindset so you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. I'm very excited about today's guest. His name is Luke Cross, and he was born in the 1990s as a millennial in a lower middle class family, where he spent most of his childhood doing anything and everything that involved physical activity to burn off his extremely high energy, which often involves competitive soccer and hockey, or his mother asking him to organize the shoe closet, or really anything that matter, because he has interestingly always been particular about organization and cleanliness. He didn't know it at the time, but the organization and cleaning, along with all the sports that he played, taught him a lot about communication, teamwork, competitiveness, being a good sport, hard work, and dedication. Over the years, he has immersed himself heavily into places that have allowed him to find areas for development by working with great leaders, teammates, who have helped him throughout his life. Consultative selling is one of the best ways to truly provide value and solve problems as he works parallel to his customers. Luke is an avid gym goer, loves talking about nutrition, engaging in healthy conversations, debate-worthy conversations with the right audience and opponents even, and is still willing to try any physical activity that his body and mind allows him to. So Luke, is there anything else that I'm missing about this particular background that you have?
Thank you very much for the intro. And no, I think you hit it right on the head, man. I think that was a great recap of just a lot that I've had going on. Sorry, I'm getting a call, of course, right as we start here. That was a great recap, Kong. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate you having me come join you for this today. I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, as I've said before, we've always had a great conversation in the past. And I just really appreciate having conversations with people like yourself who are just growth-minded. There's somebody who's looking for, you know, how they can be better, how they can improve their life. And this, because that's kind of what I try and do with my own life. So really appreciate it. Looking forward to this today.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you so much for allowing some time for us to get together to chat more. I typically don't invite millennials on my show simply because there hasn't been much wisdom instilled in them based on either, lived experiences or just not having the right mentors or audience that they surround themselves with. And the reason why I'm excited about having you on the show is because we're of the same generation and we have the same mindset. It usually takes someone that has lived through multiple lives to really engage in conversations that you and I are engaging. And so I think in a sense, I feel like we're both, we kind of have this old soul within us where we impart wisdom in others because we are observant as a early on in our life, and we didn't really want to repeat the mistakes that a lot of the folks that were around us did. At least that's kind of my understanding of you as a human being. And so I guess for me, I every time when we connected, it was very much a conversation about how to be a better person, how to improve in your professional career, things that have always added value in the areas of personal development and professional growth. And so I guess, if you could share with my audience, what was your background like growing up? I'm sure you probably had parents that instilled good values in you and, you know, such as, hard work and being persistent, consistency, and all that stuff. But if you could just share with us a bit more about what that childhood experience was like for you, on through high school, college, and now as a young professional.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you hit on some really good topics that are, I guess, relating to what I'm going to share here, and in the sense of who I've become or am becoming and continue to evolve into in some manner. And a lot of it starts from it. And, there's a lot of things that were like, it was areas that I learned of what I wanted to be and didn't want to be, but also those thoughts and mindsets shifted along the way. So my grandparents and great grandparents, they were not born here. They were born in other parts of the world. And so my parents' families they both grew up in families of eight, large families, very poor, like at least from early on at some level, grew up with a working dad, a stay-at-home mom, obviously with eight children to try and take care of. And so they all grew up with a very interesting childhood and kind of some sort of a goal of the American dream, we'll call it. Things were different when they were kids and when they were young adults. And so my parents, they had me in their late 20s, early 30s. And when I grew up with them, or when I was born, they were a little bit more in like, I would say, a lower middle class family setting. Right? I have an older brother and older sister. We moved a few times since I was very little, but my dad had worked two full-time jobs when I was really little. And my mom worked a part-time job when we were really small and then took care of us for the other times when obviously my dad wasn't home very much because he was out trying to make the money to put food on the table, pay the bills. And then somehow he managed to coach all of our soccer teams in addition to working those two full-time jobs. We're little kids, so maybe it wasn't what a professional soccer coach would go through, but it's something that I saw in my family's growing up, or in my family growing up. And so as we got older, fortunately, my parents continued to work really hard, and they were really good about being smart with their money, with what they had. They just always made it work. I definitely did not have top of the line anything for a lot of that, and no shame on them. I mean, I'm so grateful for all the things that I had, because I know not everyone does, but I also know that the sacrifice my parents made in order to allow me to have that. And, it included a lot of hand-me-downs along the way, which was fine. It included me using the same sports gear for extensive periods of time, like years over years. I think my hockey gear, like some of the hockey gear I had, I wore it extremely large as a little kid, all the way up actually into like my late middle school, early high school years. Obviously it got way too small at that point. Those are just, some of the examples of some of the things that I experienced growing up, right? By the time I was in middle school or high school, I'd say my family worked their way more towards like the middle class, roughly, area. We moved into a much nicer house, a little bit nicer neighborhood. But we weren't driving in like Ferraris or Porsches or anything like that. Honda ran deep in our family, and Honda was great the whole time. But so, yeah. So
they're
it,
also
it was great for that.
Too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That was, a little bit of my upbringing. I was very fortunate, and I'm so thankful that I got to play sports, because although as a kid, you don't think about it, there's a lot of things that I learned in the sports growing up, right? That was like my biggest hobby and passion as a kid growing up were the sports. And I was extremely competitive. I liked to win and to improve and be better. And oftentimes, as like a soccer player, I was elected to be a captain. I happened to be a pretty good soccer player. And in that time, I think is where I kind of started developing more of like indirect leadership skills. I never really wanted to own them or actually even have them, but I kind of just was given them and they were put on me. And I think part of that was, is I started seeing that individuals in the sports would like, they, you know, on my teams, they'd be yelling at each other, get mad at each other. And I just kind of have always been the person that I've been friends with everyone. And I, you know, I think what's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. And there's always a way to like delineate between that and some things that could be, well, although this situation involved all these circumstances, so it's not as easy as right is right and wrong is wrong. But because I was, you know, a little bit better and a little more influential, I was a little more influential, I guess, in soccer. And so I never liked that mentality of, you know, yelling at one another. I never thought that was productive, right? Because it always made people mad. It always started getting people's tempers up. When you get emotional, you can't control yourself as well. You don't perform as well. And I'm stating these things, it kind of probably seems like I'm going in a roundabout way, but I've noticed as I've become an adult that those things are very relative in the way that we do things. So sorry, back to the story. I'll get back on track. So anyhow, you know, I've noticed these things and thought about these things as I was growing up and started learning more about leadership, communication, and the really important things that make for an effective team, an effective person, somebody who's influential. So that was, you know, a lot of my background, sports, teamwork, competitiveness, drive, motivation. I didn't travel the world very much though. So, you know, I think as a younger person, I was pretty influenced, like I was influenced pretty easily and had kind of a narrow mind as to how the world works, how the professional setting is, what you can do in life, and the way you perceive other people and how they live and what they were taught. And again, back to that, what's right is right and wrong is wrong, but it wasn't so black and white. So then I got into college.
And can we pause for a second?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so before we talk a little bit more about your college experience, I want to know, what was that transition like for you to realize that, oh, the world was actually bigger than I thought. And what did you do to acquire the experiences and knowledge to realize that maybe there are people out there that are a bit different than me, and the way how they live their life is a bit different, and how I perceived, you know, my life can be different. What was that?
Yeah.
What was the aha moment for you? What troubled experiences did you had at that time, or just like conversations that you've had with people, or just situations that expose you to say, wow, like, you know, the world is bigger than I thought.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things, and some of these are probably going to be a little bit sensitive to some people, but I think that's okay. I think those are the important subjects, and I don't think my opinion's right. But one thing is, I grew up in a Catholic family, and everything was a very certain way, in association with the hometown mindset. I didn't grow up in a small town. I grew up in Blaine, 50,000 people was the city population, big school, but you still have limitations. And so I saw a lot of what the sheep, we'll call it, the masses, the herd, okay,
right. The herd,
right, saw. And I'm going to go a few steps forward from where I was in my story. And I went to college in Mankato. It was only a couple hours away, but there were some slight differences. And then I moved out to Colorado, and I lived in Colorado for a little while. And there were some people I met along the way. And when I was younger, there were certain perceptions of people based on religion, based on, like, you know, their dating preferences, many different things, you know, all the topics that can be seen as controversial. And and I met some people out in Colorado that didn't come from, you know, the same background as me, and they were in the groupings that were outliers to me at the time. And that was just kind of like I started building a relationship with them. And it was kind of an eye opener to me of like, man, I was so wrong just about what I thought of people, or what I was told was not accurate. And I was like, and this is just such a, on a small scale, right? This is just same country, few states away. But, and I'm like, well, these other people that I grew up with that are still at home, they still have those mindsets. I'm like, I just don't really associate with that anymore. So I think that was a big changing point for me in general there. And I think the even bigger one is when I started doing international sales, which, by the way, was an interesting experience in itself. I was in the poverty level. I was at the poverty level when I was doing this. I was working 40 plus hours a week doing that because it was pure commission. I only made money if I sold. And then I was working a part-time job outside of those hours after work and on weekends just to try and, you know, make enough money to pay rent and put food on the table. I was actually living in my sister and her husband's basement for several months until I could build up enough money to afford my own apartment, which I was still pretty lower level. But back to the main point, lower level on the financial scale. But back to the main point is I did international sales, and I had a certain target market that I was going after. And honestly, like, the reason it's beneficial in the aerospace industry to do international sales for what I was doing, which was brokering aircraft parts, is a lot of people around the world don't have the resources to, or, you know, there's a language barrier and the technology barrier to try and get some of the things that they needed for their aircrafts, or maybe, you know, somebody that has enough influence. And the United States is one of the largest spare parts markets in the world. And so I was basically the bridge between people in, I will say, third world countries, but, you know, countries that a lot of times it might not be as wealthy or as, you know, something we're used to in the United States. So I was working with people in Moldova, Mexico, Brazil, Dubai, where else? Just, I mean, you know, a few places around the world where, I mean, the US dollar was like $1,000 US would be 6 months worth of living expenses in some of these places, all expenses included. And I started learning about these people with different cultures, different religions, different beliefs. And I noticed that I'm like, these people are, they're like the same, like, it's at some level, like we're watching the same Netflix shows. We're having the same conversations about relationships. Maybe there's different beliefs about how they see certain things with religion and relationships. And even, you know, in like Pakistan, I had a customer there, obviously, you know, like in certain parts of the world, how men and women do their day-to-day living is a bit different and seen differently as well. Right. And so, but there are so many similarities. And I mean, I've made friends with these people all around the world, to the point where, you know, we text each other, we'd have conversations, business was business, but there was like basic conversation. And I found there that like it's a much bigger world, but a much smaller world than what people really think and what the news tells us and what our neighbors tell us and what, you know, everybody sees. And they play the telephone game where somebody told them something and they go tell someone else. And by the time it's five people down, it's a whole different story already. and everyone believes it. Right.
Right.
So that's, you know, I think that's just where my mindset really started changing as a individual in his early 20s. And, I was at a very financially tough spot in my life. You know, it's not like I had no options. I was living in the streets, but I mean, I was paying $1,200 a month once I finally made it into my own apartment for rent. And I can tell you my annual income wasn't double of what my annual rent was. So it was, there was a pretty tight budget there for a while. One other piece, I guess I will say, and I just like to state this one is, I had some other experiences of things I didn't want and didn't want to be along the way. And some of those things involved people in my life that just were very unaware of their level of self-awareness was very low, I'll say, mm-hmm. right? The passive aggressive Minnesota men or Midwest mentality in some aspects of like, well, I'm going to probably either not be direct with someone or I might straight up lie to them just so I don't have to like hurt their feelings or have an awkward conversation. I didn't like that. I hated it. I had a couple of experiences in my life where people that were really close to me screwed me over in a friendship sense. And to me, you know, when you're young, earlier stages in life, like those things matter quite a bit. Somebody that's friends with you for 10 plus years and they're willing to just screw you over with something as simple as like tryouts for a sport because you know they were scared that you were going to beat them, and so they made, you know, it's just like just goofy little things. And it was that, and then it was also I was in college and going to school full time, and I was working overnights in a gas station, and there's people coming in with food stamps, and my very poor college self taking out, you know, loans to get through school and pay my rent and working long hours in the summer, was working overnights, making $9 an hour. And these people come in with food stamps and they buy a whole bunch of junk food and all this other crap with their food stamps. And then they pull out wads of cash to buy cartons of cigarettes and alcohol. Oh. And, you know, that was a life-changing moment for me and my perspective on that aspect of government assistance a little bit. But what also what I didn't want to be.
Right.
Right. And I, not that I ever wanted to be that, but it further like addressed that aspect of, I don't want to let myself get to that point. And that's a sensitive subject and everyone has their unique circumstances. I understand that, but you know, I'm going to school full time, working overnights, making pennies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that was those were actually probably the biggest life-changing events that started to open my mind to wanting to learn, wanting to be better, wanting to be different. And I think genuine curiosity included with that of not everything's what it seems with pretty much everything we experience in life,
right.
To some degree. So.
Well, so here's the thing too, right? Like, what we see, like you and I could see the same situation, but how we interpret it is different based on our lived experiences and our values and our background, right? And
yep.
I love the fact that you were able to recognize that, like your point earlier about the Minnesota passive aggressiveness, you know, I'll say things to lie to that person or not be direct, just so I don't hurt their feelings, is actually more painful to lie to someone and not be direct than to actually, you know, do what many Minnesotans do. And that maybe that's perhaps one thing that you're not, we see eye to eye. Well, we see eye to eye on a lot of things, but that's one of the I guess components to life that you and I share, is that we know that life is short, and if we're gonna achieve our dreams and hopes and goals, that we have to be direct. We have to be direct mm-hmm. with our clients. We have to be direct with our relationships with our friends or family, and cut to the chase, because there's really no time to play games, right? And
yep.
Some people may say that's not playing games. That's just part of the culture. That's just part of the behavior that a lot of us in who live in Minnesota for generations have just been conducting. That's just the culture. Well, mm-hmm. I see it differently, and because for me, I'm on a mission to fulfill my duties here on Earth, and in order to achieve the kinds of goals that I want for myself and, you know, get the relationships that I want, like, you have to be direct to move the needle along. And so what was that? So when you realized that there was a difference between how you interacted with your friends and the rest of the folks in Minnesota, what did you do to kind of overcome that, to manage those relationships? Because you're like me, where let's just cut through the BS and let's just talk directly about how we feel, right? Whereas many of our friends in Minnesota, they're like, well, I'm not too sure about that. I'm very uncomfortable with that approach.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of things that go into that. And what did I do? I honestly I had a lot of learning to do, and I didn't realize that at first. I just knew that things needed to be different, or they were different, or I didn't want what I used to be and or have. And of course, that's a pretty hard thing to change and overcome, because it's a little bit of your identity. It's your friends, it's your family, whatever it may be. For me, it was more of my friends that I think needed to change. I was really fortunate, and my parents are very, very different than one another. But they were amazing parents, and they were always there for me and a lot of things. But they both taught me a lot of things, both in the direction of what I wanted and didn't want to be in some areas, right? Through learning, through actions, as much as words. I probably did a pretty poor job in reality, as compared to how I would handle things now and what I did. And I just started being very direct. Now, that lost me quite a few friends, or at least it damaged a lot of relationships, I would say, because I wasn't great at communicating it in an effective way. And so I went in and I started being direct. I was just tired of it. I was tired of not being direct. I was tired of all the crap, the bull crap, the
Like, what does he mean? What does she mean? Like, reading two people's mind, and do they really mean what they say? There's a lot of energy wasting in those interpretations.
And I would say my inexperience, my lack of knowledge, and my emotions not being maybe as in control as they should be, it damaged a lot of the relationships, and I'm honestly probably not friends with much. I don't think I even have like one true friend that I hang out with that I've been friends with for more than 10 years. And so, all of my childhood friends pretty much are no longer around. But honestly, to some degree, and nothing against them, but it's probably better for me as far as like what my goals are, right? And it's nothing against them. It's just I wanted a different life. And I didn't want to be around a lot of that anymore. Some of them, it's not that direction. We just, our paths just changed as far as which way we were going. And so nothing, against some of them for sure, or against anyone really, right? It's what they want to live, what they wanted to do. And what I wanted was different. And so I changed. I again, going back to your main question, I started being more direct. I let my emotions get out of control. I'd maybe get a little emotional and be like, I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of, and I would even confront them straight up. I'm tired of lying until you can. I straight up said this to one of my best friends. I said, until you can stop lying about so many things, I said, I don't even want to hang out. I said, I'm just so tired of it. And it also came to the mindset of what I can be and can do and can't do as a professional, as an opportunity for myself to grow and the things I wanted to do, and whether it be the way I wanted to dress, the profession I wanted to have, the life I wanted to build, and so I didn't do a great job, I would say, but I have changed, and what I did do that is progressing and making things a lot better on many levels as I started educating myself. So I learned, and I had some growing pains, we'll say, along the way, but I started learning about what else is out there. And then I also started learning on how to improve upon things like my communication skills.
Right.
I would say it's a combination of communication skills, learning to own what you do and say as well at an extreme level. There's a book called Extreme Ownership I've told you about before. And I think it's an extremely practical and logical way to see things if you really want change in your life and you really want to grow. And that emotional intelligence, understanding more about those things, and then just improving your communication in general with people. Like, those are the things I've really found a lot of joy in over the last few years, but also found it to help me progress my relationships in my personal life and my professional life, but also my positioning in my professional life with customers and with my own, like, you know, my own professional career that I'm driving. So,
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I mean, you said a lot of things that I want to just dive a little deeper, which one of them was, you know, around books, right? Like, we've certainly discussed a list of books that we've read, and that's one of your ways to improve your professional and and personal growth. And I guess for me, and I'm sure the audience probably wants to learn a little bit more, is why did you turn into this space of personal professional growth? Like, there are a lot of people out there that would rather choose to buy a brand new car, you know, clothes, to kind of substitute for their own development. You could have taken that path. Why this path?
Well, I wouldn't say that I haven't taken the other path as well.
It's still an option. We're still an option. That would be...
And that, not that I don't want to, but yes, I, you know, there's certainly people out there who are better than me with their money and making their decisions. But why the path of investing in myself, right? I, for one, my mom was very strict on money and spending and finances. And although I don't follow the same path as what she did, it helped me become very good at managing my money. I mean, I've paid interest once in my life on credit card debt. Like, I think it was like $2. But other than that, I've been very good at managing my money. And I just knew that I still feel the same way every single day. For one, I have a friend that I had this conversation with. Like, I want to have more money so I have more freedom to do more of the things I like. I like to be very active and involved. And but I knew that I couldn't. I already knew from the start that you can't just spend money you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And your immediate wage is, for the majority of people in the world, never going to be enough to give you all of that you want. And I didn't, when I was younger, and I thought I wanted to settle for, I just want to go work my 40 hours a week labor job.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't reality. When I worked labor jobs, I worked 60 hours a week every single week, pretty much. And it was great. But I just knew it wasn't going to be enough. And back then I thought it was. Thought I just wanted to work and then go home and watch football or sports or golf and sit on the couch and relax, right? Like, that was the way of living that a lot of people live. But then, you know, it was the same thing of, like, those are the same people who they say they don't have enough money. They were the people who were not able to afford to do the things they wanted to do. The same people who said they couldn't go, they were so tired after work that they couldn't work out. And you can't be physically fit and work hard and do all these other things. And I'm just like, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. And that's what I don't want. Like, I want to be different. I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily, you know, in a greedy way. I mean, I love to help people out, but I'm just like, I want a different life, right? Like, I want to get to a higher level. I want to have more money. And mm-hmm. in order to do those things, if I just keep doing my, you know, using my paycheck, and I don't go and grind and put in the hours, and for one, also believe in myself and the ability to do those things,
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get there, right? Like, you can go ahead and keep getting a new car every few years and you can buy the best clothes out there and the most expensive everything, but you bottom out. You maybe get yourself into credit card debt, or you just don't have enough money to go beyond that with your immediate wage. And you sure, you can work 20, 30 years for a company and maybe have a pension if that's a thing. For most people, it's not. You know, you maybe have a 401k, which, I mean, you hear all the time, these people, they don't have enough money for retirement. They have to go work a part-time job and do these things. So I'm like, so I was like, okay, well, I just have to do this. I have to make myself get by with what I have, but I have to start changing things. And I had to change the place I was in. I had to change the way I learned. I had to change the way I thought. And, you know, you said how and why did I do that? And a lot of it comes down to I started surrounding myself with people that were doing those things. And that felt like a really big hurdle, I feel like, in itself. It's like people always love saying on the internet, oh, surround yourself with the five people that you're around or the people you're person you're going to become like. Well, how do you get to be around people like that?
Right.
And I think that was a really big hurdle. And some people don't like this. They think it's only a business acquisition, but I have a friendship with those people very much. And the thing is that we have similarities and commonalities in those subjects of wanting to be better, wanting more. And each one I would say is different. Like the people that I'm friends with, kind of going back to my comment earlier that I was friends with everyone, like they're all in different groups at some level, but we all have that mindset and desire. And many of us came from not much or nothing at almost, and have worked our way up to a manageable living place in life where you could easily settle and say, I'm comfortable where I'm at now, or I can continue to try and improve. And how do you do that? You can't just go and clock in and clock out.
Right.
Whether you're owning the company or you're an employee, you have to go above and beyond. And that for me, and actually, it just became a hobby. I don't know if I created that hobby, like in my head, made it a hobby, or if I actually just have an interest, genuine interest in it. But I started reading books, and I was like, books that were relatable to real life, to my everyday life. And I was like, this, I'm applying some of these things. I'm like, this is cool. It actually, like, it works. I'm getting better at all of these things with communication, like I, you know, wanted to be and wanted to do, but refining all of those skills and using them, and my professional and personal communication and a career just kind of started exponentially getting better. So that's what sparked it. And now I have probably like 30 books on Audible that I've read over the last few, 2 or 3 years. I have a handful on the shelves behind me. And I've just continued down that path. So that's, I guess that's, you know, that's what sparked it. And that's what got me to where I am, which I think is when I, you know, now when I encounter those conversations, which was your initial question of what did I do? I have much better results all around. And I'm okay with people if they decide or I decide to opt out of a relationship, and I don't feel as bad about it because I approached it in a much more respectful and productive manner or direction, in my opinion. So,
So, you know, I think it's great that you've realized that some of the relationships that you've had in the past didn't serve you. And so you took the courage, right, to move forward without them. And to you, it sounds like you have a greater mission, which is to improve upon yourself in your areas of personal and professional life. And that's admirable, right? That's I love to hear that. And every time when I come across people that are always finding ways to improve in those areas of personal professional development, it really does light me up, because they somehow have realized that there's bigger things in life, in how we see the world is is always expanding. There's always more things to learn, right? And for me, my experience living in the Midwest was similar to your experience in that, I grew up in a town of 50,000 people and realized quite quickly, actually, how that was actually a limitation for me, and that I knew the world was much bigger than what I see every day in my surroundings, the culture. And you mentioned earlier about going to college, just a few states away, and how that is different. And even me living in LA, of course, as you know, it's a very big city, it's spread out, and there's people from all over the world that travel and there. And even within the city, it can be quite limiting too, not just because of traffic and people just don't want to travel 10 minutes away, because I can, 1 mile away, because that could take you 20 minutes or 30 minutes. But the fact that people tend to remain in their same neighborhood or the places that they're comfortable with. And so the connections, the new connections that I make through my day-to-day work or social outings is to really push people to really step outside of their comfort zone and engage with people of different backgrounds, which could require that person to travel, just a couple miles outside of their neighborhood, which could take an hour in LA, but at least they're doing, they're pushing themselves to be better. And by pushing themselves, they're not stuck in this comfort zone, and be, in an area that they're familiar with. And so it's inspiring to me, Luke, that you're on this trajectory of growth, and considering that we're both millennial and we're engaging these types of I guess activities that that can really lead us to a life of meaning and happiness, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all chasing our own version of happiness. And some people, they're on the same, they're on this path, and it's the right path. Others, it's going to take them quite some lived experiences and learnings before they can actually get on the right path. And so part of this show is really to inspire people to get on the right path. And that's, the reason why I invited you to the show, is to really inspire our generation to get on the right path, so that we don't have to repeat the mistakes that that the people in our life did, and need to engage in meaningful work, if that means whatever that means to you. If that means traveling the world and meeting with your clients and expanding your mind and helping them, or being involved in your community, volunteering and making a positive impact in that sense. And so for me, I think a pressing issue for me, and I want to get your answer, is of course, the show is about purpose. What does purpose mean to you, and how does it show up in your life?
Yeah, that question is it's really an interesting one, right? I think honestly, for me it's been a really hard question to answer at some degree. But I think my purpose is to learn and be better and also share that with others. I think it's something that I do with friends and family and my wife as well, and it significantly improves our relationships. But I mean, just I've been fortunate enough to work with some really awesome people that have been able to do that for me. And so I think to your question and the purpose, that I have, I don't know that there's like a one specific answer, but I think right now in my life, what my purpose is to grow and improve and be better, and then also try and go and share that. Or if I'm not sharing it, maybe be a little more receptive to people that maybe aren't there, that haven't gotten there, and that were in a place where I used to be. And not everybody wants to learn or be told what to do or how to change or how to live. And maybe I don't need to tell them that, but maybe from people like myself who had experiences with individuals that changed my life and perspective, is it's not to actually teach them, but maybe just let them feel heard and, you know, respond and maybe, you know, mind my own business at some level on how they live and what they do, but not let it change the way I do things and lead by example. So I'd love to give a more direct answer, but I'd be fabricating it if I were to try and do that. I think I think I bring value to the world by improving myself.
That's amazing.
So,
and it could just be as simple as that too, right? Like, identify what your values are and leveraging those values and making an impact in your community, your relationships, and, you know, in work and in other areas of your life. What I found through all of my conversations with my guests on the show is there's not really one set purpose and no answer. What is your purpose to no answer to what is your purpose is right or wrong, because everybody has their own version of it, and how they use it is up to them, as long as it's making a positive impact in their life, in the relationships and communities that they're part of. And so, and to your point too, about, you know, just, you know, the growth and the path that we're on is really to continue evolving ourselves, finding tools, whether that is reading books or surrounding yourself with the five people, you know, that inspires you, is to continue developing your own personal professional growth, because that's where the sweet spot is. That's where the magic happens. It's really that journey to the destination that makes it meaningful. And what I've also discovered too is the people that have a sense of fulfillment, they're always finding ways to grow and continue to learn and to improve. And so all of that is really important. So with that said, Luke, it looks like you kind of froze on me here. Are you still there? It looks like you're frozen me, but let's continue on with this conversation here in a bit. Hey, Luke, apology for the connection with the internet, but I wanted to just
no problem
ask you the last question here. If people are inspired by this talk and they want to connect with you, where can they find you? And then lastly, what's your advice to the world, if you have one?
Okay. Yeah. So I have, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Luke Kraus, LukeKraus. I did get married recently, so there's going to be an extra S added on for a name modification that's been going on. But anyway, beyond that, I do also have an Instagram handle. It's @_Luke_life. It's currently where it's at anyhow. So, those are primarily the areas I go, especially if I'm going to have any sort of, this type of communication. My LinkedIn is mostly my professional life. The Instagram's a little bit more of my personal life. So depending on what you're looking for and what the conversation you're looking to engage in, those would be your avenues. My message to the world, you know, that's a great question. I think the message that I would share is continue to learn. Find a way to learn in some area. It may not be the same things I'm interested in, but find what you're passionate about and try and learn and find ways to improve on those things. You can eventually turn your passion into a career at some degree, or at some point in life. You see, there's pretty much an opportunity for everything out there, it seems, in the world of people who are rich being an influencer to, you know, your entrepreneurs as well in many other careers. So that's probably what I'd end on.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, Luke, thank you so much for the wisdom, and I hope that my listeners find it to be an added value to their own lives, and that they connect with you should they be inspired by this talk. Until then, thank you so much for being on the show, and you're truly an inspiration to our generation of millennials. And keep up the great work.
Thanks, Colin. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you having me on. Really appreciate your mindset on life, on how you address things and how you hold yourself. So look forward to continuing our friendship and just learning with you as we grow.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.